a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Well, thinking of staying at a or doing business with a Marriott hotel in the future? Think twice. Marriott hotel chain determines all of Jerusalem is, quote, Palestinian occupied state, unquote. Get a load of that. The nerve of these people. One of the largest hotel chains with hotels all around the world, the Marriott hotel chain, recently wrote a letter to the chairman of Eretz Travel and Tourism, Yuzi Halon, in which his address was listed as Jerusalem Occupied Palestinian Area. The Marriott hotel chain is based in Washington, and its hotels have served as popular convention sites for many Jewish organizations, including the Conference of Jewish Presidents and many Israeli delegates and delegations to Washington, D.C., have stayed at the hotel. Mr. Yalon was outraged. Yeah, well, so would I be. He wrote back a letter to the hotel's chains board. He said, I was born in Jerusalem, or Jerusalem for you English-speaking people, which has always been a part of the state of Israel. I am not prepared to assist in marketing a hotel chain which defines my city in such a way, and I plan to impart this to the rest of my fellow co-workers in the upcoming convention of Israeli travel agents. The Marriott administration did not reply to his angry letter, Mr. Yalon. Mr. Yalon also sought the intervention of Foreign Minister Shimon Peres and outgoing Tourism Minister Benny Elan. Mr. Yalon did not delay carrying out his threat. He reported to the Tourism Journal the professional Israel organ for travel agents that he is stopping marketing for the Marriott chain in Israel. And he calls on all other travel agents to follow his example. In fact, I do it all around the world. The local representative of the Marriott Hotels is an East Jerusalem tourism company run by a member of the Husseini family. The former regional director was also a Palestinian. Jews should consider whether they prefer to give their business to a company that is sympathetic to the Palestinian cause. And this was provided by Sidney Faber. And, well, what about that? What about that? The Marriott Hotel. Now, I think if I'm correct, if my history is up to date on this, that the Marriott Hotel and some other ventures out there are owned and operated, or the majority of interest is owned by the Mormon Church. That's right, the Mormon Church. And let me tell you something about the Mormon Church. The Mormon Church is a false cult, is a false religion. And it's amazing. Most false religions, if not all of them, and most false cults, or I would just say cults, are anti-Israel, anti-Jew, and anti-God. Well, they may claim to represent God, but they're worshiping the unknown God. You know what the Mormons teach? They teach that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are three separate gods. Now, folks, that's heresy, plain and simple. And they also teach, I believe they teach this, that we're going to have wives in heaven, because that's against the Bible. They also teach that we can attain godhood. And we know that is blasphemy. This is a false religion, and if you're stuck in that thing, you ought to get out of it, because it is simply a money-making operation. That's all it is. A money-making operation. It is a pack of lies based on somebody's hallucination. Joseph Smith said he saw some vision. And according to the Bible, the last vision or revelation that was ever given out was to John the Apostle, by the way. And he was inspired to write some very severe words about people who mess around with the Word of God. People who mess around with the Word of God by adding to, like Joseph Smith did, or taking away from the words of the Word of God. Revelation chapter 22. The Bible's very strong, gives very strong language about this stuff. Verse 18, the Bible says, "For I testify unto every man, and I may say every religion, that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." It is my understanding that the Mormon Church has signed an agreement with the Israeli government that they would not proselyze. Now, if they really believed that their faith was true, they could not sign such an agreement. Now, I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to win Jews to the Messiah if my life is expected of me. Or my life would be at stake. And hey, my life has been at stake. There have been times that I've risked my life for the cause of Jesus, but I'm not going to brag about that. No, I'm not going to brag about that, because it's to God's glory that He allowed me and enabled me to be able to have the grace of God to be put in dangerous circumstances in order to give the gospel out. Oh, I don't plan to have problems, but problems seem to come to those who preach the truth. Remember John the Baptist, they cut his head off, didn't they? Yeah, he sure did. They sure did. They cut his head off because he was preaching the truth. Now don't count me your enemy now, because I tell you the truth. So if I was a Jew, and I am, and if I was a Bible-believing independent Baptist, and I am, I wouldn't pay 1 cent to go to a Marriott hotel, because I'm, number one, not going to support the Mormon false church, and number two, I'm not going to support an organization that doesn't even recognize Israel. Your sin will find you out. That's what the Bible said. Guess what? Marriott Hotel, Mormon church, your sin has found you out. Now, if you have any question about the news on this, for which I quoted almost verbatim, except for my commentary here and there, you can get a hold of this one, Sidney Faber, Mission Profitable Incorporated. He evidently is the vice president of European sales. Or he was. I hope he still is. And this was emailed to me. So, all right. Next item on the agenda, from the Coing International News. Here are a few significant examples of the seriousness, the times in America. As we have stated many times before, when the U.S. applies pressure on Israel to give up her covenant land, serious things happen on the American shores. The Bush administration is continuing to apply pressure on Israel to give up her covenant land. And at the same time, we are facing the following. Largest drought in U.S. history is very possible. 40% of the nation is in drought conditions. At the time of this broadcast, largest fire season in U.S. history has been predicted. Continued repercussions from the largest terror event in U.S. history. Largest and most expensive war in U.S. history, the war on terror. Largest Wall Street stock market sell-off in modern times. Largest bankruptcy filing, WorldCom and others, in U.S. corporate history. Largest loss of market capitalization, $8 trillion in U.S. history, which began during March 2000 and has accelerated recently. A $156 billion deficit in the year 2002, complements of the loss of capital gain revenue, the war on terror, and a slowing economy. Two feared unknowns facing Wall Street: the potential impact of another national terror event and the next corporate scandal. The loss of confidence by international investors in the U.S. financial markets. The enormous losses U.S. banks are facing via Enron, WorldCom, and others. Major losses and threats of greater losses occurring in the risky financial derivatives markets worldwide. The weakening of the U.S. dollar to being at par or slightly weaker than the euro. The slippage of President Bush's approval rating to pre-9/11 lows, according to the Zogby poll. Next news item, a question of blood. This by Dan Jordan, and it appeared in the Jewish Journal Dan Jordan is a former sergeant in the IDF, the author of 5 books, and a screenwriter. He was in Jenin on April the 16th and was told a story by Dr. David Zangin, chief medical officer of the Israeli paratroop unit that bore the brunt of the fighting in Jenin. Dr. Zangin said that the IDF not only worked to keep the Palestinian hospital open, they offered the Palestinians blood for their wounded. The Palestinians refused because it was Jewish blood. Can you imagine that? I'm going to say a little bit about that after this. And it goes on, the Israelis, who could not have been faulted for saying, quote, "You don't like it, do without," unquote, instead flew in 2,000 units of blood from Jordan via helicopters. In addition, they saw to it that 40 units of blood from the Mukh Assad Hospital in East Jerusalem went to the hospital in Ramallah, and that 70 units got to the hospital in Tul Karim. And on top of that, they facilitated the delivery of 1,800 units of these anticoagulants that had come from Morocco. This information was later confirmed by Colonel Arik Gordon in the reserves of the IDF Office of Military Spokesman, who supplied the exact number of units and the names of the hospitals to which they were delivered. Dan Jordan concludes thus. So, the question to ponder is, how do you negotiate with a hatred so great that it will refuse to accept your blood even to save its own people's lives? How does an international community vilify a nation that offers its own blood to its enemies, while its own soldiers lie dying, and that when faced with race hatred that brands their blood unfit, diverts military flights to bring blood more suitable to the taste of those who would destroy them? You see, all these lies that have been thrown out there in the media against Israel is unfounded. Israel is built upon moral principles. Oh, I know they blow it. So is every country that claims to be democratic and God-fearing. But the fact of the matter is, you can see the moral fiber of that country to love their enemies and take care of the wounded. Folks, that's the reality, not this nonsense you're hearing in the news media out there for the most part. This is what gets me. You know, now, you don't see any Jews being taken care of like that. You know what they do with those Jews? If they had one Jew in the Palestinian area, they tear them to shreds. And guess what? They've already done that before. That's been documented and been shown on the news media all around the world. And the only reason it got shown on the news media is because some courageous journalist or television cameraman was courageous to reveal it. But you know that they would have hid it if they could. I'm talking about the majority of the news media out there that is pro-Palestinian 100% and anti-Israel. Now, this kind of treatment towards enemies is the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, and his teaching, and what has become known as the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he, Jesus Christ, opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking here, the Jewish Messiah. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So, taking care of the enemies like they have is based on biblical principles of both the Old Testament, the Tanakh, and the New Testament, Berit Chadashah. That's exactly right. The Lord Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, also said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So, we find that this is not true for the Muslim religion. No, not in any way, shape, or form. This moral principle taught by the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is not even mentioned or taught in the Islamic code. Because if it would have been, the atrocities against the Jews by the Muslims would have never been a reality. What's interesting is the Jews aren't strapping dynamite and bombs around their waists and sending their kids into Palestinian territory and committing these suicide bombings and atrocities. I don't see them doing that. No. What I see is the Palestinians who have no moral background, who are lawless, and they're worshiping a false god. For if they were worshiping the true and living God, they would be loving the Jews. That's right. They wouldn't be fighting against them. Again, I'm not saying that Israel's always right and everything they do is right. But I am saying that that country is, at least foundationally speaking, has been based upon the biblical principles of morality. But there is a spiritual side to all this. Simply being morally upright will not get you to heaven if you thought it did. No, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, the mercy of the Lord Jesus, he has saved us. We still need to repent of our sinfulness and wickedness, folks. We need to confess and forsake. For that's what God says in order to have mercy. The wisest man who ever lived, besides Jesus, who really is the wisest man that ever was upon this earth, but Solomon was considered the wisest man in his lifetime, and he said, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." So the only way you're going to have the mercy of God is to confess and to forsake your wicked ways. then the blood of Christ will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's the precious blood, the atoning blood of the Jewish Messiah. Now, don't turn your dial. There's more yet to come. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee earth, O Lord God of Israel.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. I'm so glad that you're staying with us for the remainder of this broadcast of How Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. And you're going to join with me now in a tent revival meeting that I conducted with the help of other independent Baptist churches in the Sylacauga, Alabama area. Boy, did we have a time. And the Lord was with us in a mighty, powerful way. Souls were saved and saints of God were edified and built up in the faith. So put your seatbelt on and listen attentively to this message regarding the mark of the devil versus the mark of God.
Don't you worry about anything. God is in control. Now, if God be for us, who can be against us? Why, if God is for us, the storms cannot be against us. For it is God who orchestrates all of this anyhow. He knows exactly what we need tonight. And we want to give God all the glory and the honor and the praise. Genesis chapter 4, please. Genesis chapter 4. The Bible says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Hallelujah. A man from the Lord. Now, I want you to keep your place in Genesis chapter 4. We're going to go back there real fast. I want you to go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6, if you would, please. Jeremiah chapter 6. All right? Jeremiah chapter 6. Are you glad to be here tonight? Aren't you really glad to be here tonight? Are you really, really glad to be here tonight? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. All right, verse 30. The Bible says, reprobate silver shall man call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Once again, I'll read that verse. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you'd help thy servant to preach thy word with thy power and in the demonstration of thy spirit. And oh God, thou knowest I need your help tonight. And although we feel that sweet wind coming through, but winds are also contrary out there. And we pray, O Lord, that our heart's attention would be on the holy word of God tonight. Help us, Lord, to worship Thee in spirit and truth, we pray. And we pray for that lost sinner among us tonight. I know there's some here tonight. They've come here for answers. They've come here to seek the true and the living God. They've come here to know what is life all about. And Jesus has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, I pray for these dear ones. Oh God, how you love them. Lord, how you love them. Thou hast said that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I pray, Lord, tonight, that you'll do the kind of work that only you can do. And in all my strength, I cannot do the persuading that the Holy Ghost can do. And I pray that the Holy Ghost will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, for that is what He wants to do. And we'll be careful to praise you tonight. For Jesus' sake, amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, folks, in the days in which we live, I have been the most troubled probably in the last 5 years of my ministry. Not because God has failed me in any way, and not because I'm not happy in the Lord. Not because I'm not grateful for the blessings of God. But I am troubled in my heart to the degree that when I see what's out there, and I see what's out there in the highways and the byways, when I see what's out there in our local independent Baptist churches, when I see what's out there in other churches that I hear about, my heart gets troubled at times. Would you not agree that your heart does get troubled? Now, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Now, listen, folks. God answers every problem we have. There is no problem that He cannot answer. There is no situation that He cannot solve. But Jesus Christ is the only one that can give us the answers. Amen. Now, many people have asked me over the years, Brother Freed, how close are we to the end? I tell them, as far as I can tell, and I'm no prophet, for there are no prophets today. But according to the Bible, we have the spirit of prophecy, which means we know what the prophet said about what would happen in the last days. We do not know when Jesus is going to come. We do not know the time. We don't know the hour. And we surely don't even know the particulars about it. But we know it is very near. Now, if Paul said and believed that the coming of the Lord was drawing nigh in his generation, and he said there in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, that was in the present tense, and he surely was looking for Jesus to come in his lifetime. Now, folks, if he was looking for Jesus to come in his lifetime, how much closer are we today for the coming Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I'm telling you right now, there is absolutely nothing that has to be done that I'm aware of in Bible prophecy that needs to be fulfilled in order for Jesus Christ to come the second time. The only thing that I can think of outside of Bible prophecy is that you and I, as members, hallelujah, members of the bride of Jesus Christ, we are to be ready to be called out of this mess. Now, if you're not ready to be called out of this mess called the rapture, you're going to be ashamed when you see his face. And there's a worst thing in my thinking is, God forbid, I would be ashamed at the face of Jesus. When you think about what he's done for you, how he saved you from eternal damnation, how he gave you mansions in heaven, how he's given you eternal promises that will last forever and ever. I cannot think what it would be like if I have to be ashamed when I see him face to face. Now, this is not going to be necessarily a praising kind of message. It's going to be a very serious kind of message. And I tell you what, if you get on the conviction about this, I wouldn't expect you to shout. But I do expect you to keep real close attention to what I'm about to preach. Because I'm not ashamed of the truth, and I'm going to preach the truth. And no matter what you look like, it don't matter what you think. But I'm not going to be arrogant about it and say I don't care about you, because I do care about you. Now, if I didn't care about you, I wouldn't be here. But I care about you because God's ordained us to be here. And we're here for your benefit. Now, I'm not against Strong's Concordance. I'm not against some of these Bible commentaries. I'm not against. You got to watch everything, though. Not everything that's in those things are good. You got to discern them with the eye, with the microscope of the Word of God. Amen? Don't take everything carte blanche now. You test everything to the Word of God. And if it don't meet to the Word of God, you reject it outright. You hear what I'm saying? In other words, let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every concordance a liar. Let God be true and every Bible teacher a liar. Let God be true. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the Bible and the authority of the Bible that we need to go to. Are you with me now? Now, I've learned some things, not much, but I've learned some things that if you want to know what the Bible means, the Bible says, I'm just kind of giving an introduction to build this up. You understand? But it's going to come hot and heavy pretty soon. So you're going to have to get your seat buckled, and you're going to have to be ready for this. But I speak the truth in love. I don't mean to be harsh or callous or mean, but I mean to be truthful. And so I ask that you will ask God to help you receive the precious Word of God tonight. Now, how many of you will make a covenant with me tonight that you will ask God that under no circumstances you will quench the Holy Ghost and you will receive the Word of God and have a teachable spirit tonight? How many will raise their hand and say, by the grace of God, I'll do that? All right. Now we got that squared away. Nobody will get offended. Now, I hope nobody was offended by the offering. That's about the fastest offering I ever got. But I'll tell you one thing. I praise God for that. I praise God that you're sensitive to the Lord. Now, notice here in Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. We want to know what is the definition of a reprobate. The title of the message, if I'm going to have a title, and there could be many titles to this message, would be, Are You? That means you, sir. That means you, sir. That means you, sir. Ma'am, that means you, ma'am. Lady, that means you, lady. Girl, that means you, girl. Boy, that means you, boy. Daddy, that means you, daddy. Grandma, that means you, grandma. Am I? Are you with me now? Are you becoming a reprobate? Now, I'll tell you something right now. If you know that you're becoming a reprobate, woo! I tell you one thing. You better thank God that you know you're becoming one. Because there's some here tonight that already are one. And it's too late for you. But for those that are not yet a reprobate, I still believe there's hope for you. And under the sound of the Word of God tonight, my heart breaks for you. God knows my heart. That this may very well be the very last time you will ever have an opportunity to be saved. And I'm not trying to be a doomsday preacher. I'm simply saying that without Jesus, it's all gloom and doom. I'm trying to tell you that for some of you who have been good church members, I mean, you've been faithful tithers. You've even got soul winning with the pastor. I mean, you've been faithful in almost about everything you can think of. But you might very well be a candidate tonight for becoming a reprobate. This is probably the most serious message that I've ever preached in my life, Brother Brown. It's very serious. Very serious message. Now notice here, we want to get a definition of the word reprobate so you understand where we're going to. Notice here in verse 30. Reprobate silver shall men call them. Because the Lord has rejected them. Now, folks, here it is. Silver. What do? Some of you know what I'm talking about. You get the silver, or you get the gold, you get the precious metal, and you boil it down, don't you? You boil it down. And when you boil that thing down, folks, you have what the Bible calls the scum. That's the dross. It comes on top. Can I tell you something? There's going to come a day that all the scum of the earth, all the dross of your heart is going to come on top. You will be exposed before a holy God. Every wicked thing that you've ever done, every single lie that you've ever committed, everything that you've ever done that's wickedness before God will come before your eyes one day when you stand before the white throne judgment if you're not saved tonight. Now, if you're a Christian, the same will be true in this regard. That if you die with unconfessed sin in your life and you meet the Lord, I believe that He will show you those sins that so easily besetted you that caused you to live the way you were living, all in the name of Jesus, what I believe. Here it is. Reprobate silver. What do they do? Now listen up here. Serious business. They take the scum. They cannot recycle it. It is absolutely worthless. They cannot reuse it. It is good for nothing. Are you listening to me? It is good for nothing. You cannot have a reformation with it. You cannot even have a conversion with it. It is absolutely good for nothing. Now, what do they usually do with that? They get rid of it. They reject it. Are you listening to me? That's right. Reject it outright. Now, it so happens, and it's not a coincidence, that I don't need a dictionary to know what this word reprobate means. Because in this same verse, the Hebrew, and I'm not trying to be gloating about being a Hebrew scholar or anything like that, but I'm just simply telling you that in the King James, when they did the translation work, and they had the two same Hebrew words in the same verse, they would normally give two different English translations for it that had synonymous meaning. Amen. Are you with me now? So that in actuality, the King James Bible is a built-in dictionary. Did you hear what I said? In actuality, the King James Bible is a built-in dictionary. Come on now. Come on now, I'm telling you. Do you think God needed Mr. Strong to interpret His Bible? Come on now. Do you think that God needed Thayer to interpret His Bible? Again, I'm not knocking that. If you can use that to help speed up your study, fine. But I'm just saying this. You better study, compare Scripture with Scripture. You better compare spiritual with spiritual before you ever look at a commentary or a Strong's Concordance. Now, you can look at the Strong's to tell you where the words are so you can go through the Bible. That's fine. Notice. Here's that. Reprobate silver. Reprobate. Shall men call them because that the Lord, here it is, the other Hebrew word, the same Hebrew word translated reprobate, Brother Brown. Reprobate silver. Shall men call them because the Lord hath rejected them. So the definition of reprobate in the Bible is simple. It's somebody that has been rejected by God. And when somebody is rejected by God, that's it, folks. That's it. God can't reform you. God can't make you a better person. God can't help you any longer. It's too late. You have been rejected. You cannot be recycled. There's not another chance. There's no purgatory. There's no reincarnation. That's a bunch of garbage anyhow. Man, if I was going to believe in reincarnation, I'd at least believe I'm coming back as a king. And guess what? I got something better than reincarnation. I'm coming back on a horse, hallelujah. And the Bible says that I'm a king already because I'm saved, hallelujah. These nuts out there saying I'm going to be reincarnated as a cockroach, you got to be nuts. Man, if I'm going to believe in that, I'm going to come back as the richest man on the earth. Yeah, amen, hallelujah. Amen, are you with me now? But when you're rejected, you are forever, forever, forever lost. That's it. That's the end of you. Sounds pretty hopeless, doesn't it? But what if tonight some of you, no doubt there are. I know there's are. I know because I just know in every meeting I ever preach. All these preachers know there's always going to be unsaved people among us. That's right. Going to be good church members. Good church members. Upright church members. People who outwardly seem to love God. People who outwardly seem to be doing everything right. Dressing right, smelling right, looking right, and doing the things that a Christian ought to be doing. You know what? Christianity's become a good religion, hasn't it? Become a real good religion, hasn't it? I mean, I can be a good Christian just like I can be a good Catholic, brother. You know what I mean? I can be a good Christian just like I can be a good Baptist. Amen? I can be a Christian just like I can be a good Buddhist. Come on now. I mean, Christianity's become a religion. We know exactly what to do. We know exactly what to say. And we know exactly what to look like. But in our hearts, we are wicked as hell. In our hearts, we're becoming a reprobate. We are being transformed into a reprobate silver that will utterly be rejected by God. And some of you are already too late. Some of you are already have become a reprobate. Right now, you're a good standing member of your local church. And guess what? For you, Daddy, for you, Mommy, for you, Grandmommy, for you, Granddaddy, for you, honey, you are already rejected by God. There's no hope for you. And what's so sad about it, Brother Perry, is they don't even know it. They don't even know that they're reprobates. They don't know it. Pretty serious, isn't it? Pretty serious. I tell you what, I've had people ask me this question, Brother Clinton. Why does God let the Sodomites live? Why did God let Hitler live so he can kill 6 million Jews? Why did he live? Why does he let all this wickedness permeate our world? Well, I tell you one thing, if the Holy Ghost wasn't there, it'd be a lot worse. Hey, if the Holy Ghost wasn't here, it'd be hell. This would be total chaos. That's right. And I often wonder, brother, why does God let the wicked flourish? Well, because God knows what He's doing. That's why. That's a pretty complicated answer, isn't it? He knows what He's doing. It could be that maybe the person may have children or Or maybe God will use them to show what happens to the wicked. Why do you think that God not only gave 1, 2, 3 plagues against Pharaoh in Egypt? Could he have not made the point with just one? Why did he do all that? So that his name would be glorified in the whole wide world. Why was there 10 plagues and not 9? I'll tell you why. 10 is the number of the Gentiles. And God was saying that I'm going to judge the Gentiles for rejecting God. And he did.
Well, this is about all the time that we have left for this broadcast, but please stay tuned for the next time that Hope Israel Baptist broadcast will air, and we will finish this message that I preached at a tent revival evangelistic meeting on Prophecy Israel on the End Times, and the title of the message was basically The Mark of the Devil or The Mark of God? Are you becoming a reprobate? That's the question you must ask, answer. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll never have to worry about becoming a reprobate. For God has promised you eternal life. You can receive Him now. If God's convicted you of sin, you can receive His forgiveness.
Covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heavens.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.